You know, I look at how many more times can you provide a dishwasher magnet with a picture of an agent and a schedule of the local football team or whatever. You know, it's a dying process. So, you know, being online is where those marketing dollars need to be spent and being found.
Welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted, the show dedicated to innovation in the insurance industry. Each episode, you'll get a dose of thought leadership from the industry's top business minds, influencers, innovators, and executive leaders. If you want to transform your corner of the industry and exchange innovative ideas, you need to subscribe to this podcast. Now here's your host, Abel Travis.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast, where we dive deep into insurance innovation. Now, today I'm speaking with Todd Kazakowski. Now, Todd is the co-founder and chief risk officer for ClearSurance, a platform that makes the shopping experience for insurance transparent by offering crowdsourced rating and reviews. Hey, Todd, welcome to the podcast. It's an honor to have you here today.
It's an honor to be here. And thank you so much for inviting us to be able to share our story.
Absolutely. You know, so Todd, you know, I want to learn a little bit about you. So, you know, just tell me about you and then how you landed into the insurance industry.
Yeah, I guess we don't go to school necessarily always for insurance, but I find myself here. So for the last 25 years, I've been in high tech, building various companies along the way and had some good outcomes along the way. And of course, you make your risks too and bets and you have some losses too. And it's all part of the risk and reward scenario of building companies. My original background, I was, believe it or not, I hate to admit this, or maybe it's kind of a nerdy thing to admit, but I was a former astronomer and physicist, so astrophysicist and mathematics background, and just kind of fell in love with science at a really young age. Left college, decided that I might consider pursuing a medical career, got involved in a medical college, decided not to go there, decided to defer, and had always had this kind of tech background, knew how to code, knew how to do math, of course, and fell in love with that. And then something else happened. I loved being able to sell what it was that we were building. And so got involved into sales and marketing and product management and ideas from consumers and customers, and the kind of the rest is history. And about, you know, six companies later, here we are starting another one. All of my previous backgrounds have been in other industries, from construction industry to healthcare, to customer service, various transparency services and marketing services. So nothing in insurance. However, my partner, my co-founder, Mike Crow, had spent 25 years in the insurance industry building businesses that were very successful and later acquired by companies like Brown & Brown and Verisk Analytics. And he and I met at a kind of fortuitous bar where the situation was kind of questioned. We had a mutual friend that said, look, the two of you should get together. There seems like there could be an opportunity here for a new business in the insurance industry. So, you know, I'll share a little more about that. But that's, you know, that's been my background. I've been a high-tech kind of guy for 25 years.
You know, so knowing that, I think about a lot of the individuals that come into the insurance space, especially when they're coming into insurance technology, most of them don't really have an insurance background, and they have other backgrounds in other industries or in technology and doing different things. You know, so from your perspective, you know, not being from the insurance industry, has that helped you see things a little bit differently about what the need is within insurance?
Yeah, totally. You know, in fact, I would say that the balance with us is kind of exciting between Mike and I, because he has such deep, rich insurance experiences, as does some of the other members of our team. And then yet we also have members of our team who have purely come out of technology and ask questions in a very different way. But I would say also I had a very personal and kind of emotional connection to insurance as a kid. So I was a kid whose parents lost their home, and it was a very traumatic experience because, as you can imagine, a young guy who whose parents basically had an accident in their home. They were having some reconstruction work done, and it went poorly. And as a result, my parents actually ended up losing their home. And it became a major issue in that the insurance company didn't want to cover the work that was being done. They blamed the construction company. The construction company's insurance company pointed the finger back at the insurance company. And really, nobody took responsibility. And it ended up in a situation where 10 years later, my parents really got nothing out of it, other than the fact that they needed to restart their lives. And so that held very near and dear to my heart. And so when Mike approached me about this concept of, you know, how could we create better transparency for the insurance consumer and at the same time be inviting to a carrier, it made me sit up in my seat, because I realized there's an opportunity there, something that my family had personally felt and experienced, and felt like there was an opportunity there to create better transparency in the industry.
You know, so I could imagine, you know, going through that as a with you as a child, and recognizing that, you know, the insurance company is pointing the finger and they're not going to cover the losses, and, you know, with your family's home being a total loss. And I could imagine that probably drove a feeling of negativity towards the insurance industry, because that interaction that you had, especially from a very young age, you know, wasn't really a positive interaction. You know, so with that said, I could see that driving the need for you to want to start an organization like ClearAssurance. You know, so if you don't mind, you know, just talk about what specifically ClearAssurance is and the specific problem that you guys are solving for.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's a really good comment, and I'll share. So, you know, at ClearAssurance, our mission is very simple. It's to help people make smarter insurance decisions. And we accomplish this by sharing crowdsourced ratings and reviews on insurance carriers and through consumer education. We have a full learning center that offers actionable advice on everything from understanding your policy terms and conditions to the impacts of having a trampoline or a swimming pool in your backyard. And we're, you know, I think engaging consumers to be a part of this community, where they can learn from each other's experiences, they can share their own stories to help improve consumer education and also improve insurance, the insurance experience for everyone. What we, as a consumer, if you type in any insurance company, you type in the word reviews following that, what you often see in terms of search results are all of the complaints, the issues, the negative feedback. And overwhelmingly, it's very biased, right? And I think a lot of insurance companies that we've talked to in building this company in particular, you know, are really frustrated with what's currently in the industry. You can look at platforms, crowdsourcing platforms that do it for restaurants, that do it for other industries, and they're kind of lightly touching into the insurance industry. And one of the things that Mike and I realized was it's kind of an unfair perspective, because you've got people who are clearly upset. They may have had a negative claim situation, and so they go to these platforms to vet and really share their experience. And while it may be accurate or it may not be, I mean, they in fact may not be getting coverage or a claim paid because they didn't elect for coverage. But regardless, to be able to share that experience and more importantly, to set a table where the carrier can come back and respond and educate was something that we really wanted to build in a more transparent way. We had seen firsthand in talking to the founders of folks from companies like TripAdvisor to Glassdoor to you name it. there are a lot of them out there. You realize that there are a lot of shared experiences, and they've all fundamentally elevated the service experiences. There's not a hotel or a restaurant you won't go to with that, or a vacation you won't book without being able to read reviews. And the truth of the matter is, we live in a 5-star world. People want to read reviews before they buy anything online, and that is the modern consumer. And that next generation coming up is doing it even more so. And so we said, well, you know, that can be applied to insurance as well. We're at this point now where insurance can be made to be much more personable. It can be much more consumer friendly. And that really became our focus. So, you know, I think we're taking some of the same principles as what we've seen like companies like TripAdvisor do for travel, and really elevate the experience for the consumer and make it simple.
You know, so I think of companies like Yelp, right? And when people tend to use Yelp to give their reviews, you know, it tends to be a lot when they're dissatisfied. So you do see some positive comments and reviews that's given, but then you also tend to see a lot of, you know, negative comments or reviews if there was some portion of the service that, you know, a person was dissatisfied with. Now, you know, I think about insurance, right? And with insurance, insurance companies tend to deal with their policyholders maybe twice during the year. That first time is when the policyholder is paying a premium, and then the second time during the year, and it may be the second time or it may not, but that's when the policyholder needs to contact them to pay a claim, right? You know, so thinking about that, what that would lead me to believe is that that policyholder is coming in from a negative perspective because there's already a negative feeling around, oh, now there's this huge claim that I have to potentially deal with and pay for. So there might be some level of dissatisfaction that's already there. So I guess my question for you, Todd, is, you know, how do you weed out, you know, the dissatisfaction piece that individuals and policyholders are already coming in with from those reviews that are, you know, really genuine about other elements of how the service was with that insurer?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And you're absolutely right. Existing platforms today are 70 to 80% negative. And you're right. It's a result of a claims experience. And so they go to those platforms to share their feedback. And so, you know, from our standpoint, one of the things that we've created through our tools, so we have a review widget that carriers will use. They deploy it on their website, or in some cases, actually now deploying it across their agent network. And we're able to get reviews, solicit reviews very early on in the process from when people are learning and educating and learning about the brand, learning about their policy, to the point of actually purchasing, to the point of maybe billing, to maybe they do have a claims experience, maybe they have a renewal question. And so getting the full value chain of the life cycle for the customer, we're able to see just the opposite. In fact, almost every one of our carriers will get on average anywhere from 70 to, in some cases, even 90% positive ratings on our site. And so, you know, I think it's turning the tide back a little bit differently, is giving the carrier tools to engage in a much more proactive way. And I think, you know, looking at the industry in general, consumers in general have think too simplistically on insurance. They think about it as price, very price sensitive. And the reality, too, is that many consumers, when we engage with consumers, you know, they're buying insurance from, you know, a vendor. In some cases, it's someone who's selling insurance, you know, as part of a, you know, obviously a commission stream. And so they're going to obviously pitch what they can sell. And so it's not as very open. You do have some vendors like, you know, the Progressives or the Assurances that are selling direct, which is great. You've got an agent broker model. But at the end, you have consumers who are still looking for a much more open, more transparent, kind of neutral recommendation. The aggregators are out there, but they're taking your personal information and they're basically selling it out oftentimes to partners to get a non-binding quote. And we just felt that there had to be a better way to do this. And so, you know, for us, it was really engaging with insurance companies very early on, looking at working with their marketing departments to find out, you know, how can we proactively manage your online reputation? Because yes, there will be negative reviews, but there are way more positive reviews and positive relationships that consumers have with their insurance company. So how do we get them to tell that story? And how can we get people to promote that on a third-party platform that people can read and see and feel good about their insurance choices? And that's what we've been able to do, and it's made a profound change in an online world.
So how are the carriers responding, you know, when they're essentially, I understand what you're saying about, you know, a significant portion of the reviews that's coming out of this are positive, but, you know, how are they responding to ClearAssurance when, you know, there's no guarantees that this is going to wind up playing out in their favor? The way that I look at it is, you know, especially where there's not really a lot of control as to what a policyholder or what a consumer is saying, you know, you may not want to, you know, take part in that unless there's absolutely a way to provide some additional guidance and information around, you know, what truly happened in that potential circumstance that's being, you know, talked about. So, you know, just from your perspective, you know, how are carriers responding to this?
It's a great question. So I'll tell you, this is where the answer gets in terms of crowdsourcing, in terms of numbers. So let me give you a concrete example. We did a study of feedback from consumers after Hurricane Matthew last year. from Florida all the way up through Delaware. And we could follow, working with FEMA, the track of the storm, which communities were targeted heavily by the storm. And then, of course, 6 to 8 weeks later, when claims started to fit in and fall in and be submitted, we started doing, we started requesting folks to share their stories. You follow them through that experience. And what we begin to learn is which carriers and which states did very well, which one did well across the entire storm. So, for example, we learned that USAA consistently was excellent across the entire storm. But then you had pockets of areas where some in some states insurance companies were really not coming to bat for the consumer. And we could even look on a per street basis and tell you which consumers from which carriers were actually covered and for the same type of issues and same type of storm were not covered. And so that data becomes very valuable so that the carriers can then look at that too and say, okay, maybe we need to adjust our customer service center in this particular state. Maybe we need to adjust our outreach. Maybe we need to change the way we're communicating or maybe the way we're writing our policy. And at the same time too, also educating the consumer to say, look, you didn't opt for this coverage. You didn't opt for this additional protection. So educating them in terms of making the right decision. So it really is a two-way relationship that we feel can be much more open, much more transparent, and be thoughtful on the content that gets created. We have consumers today that not only write a review, but actually are now sharing photographs and videos of their damage. And that's the truest form of validation, because when you read a review, to actually see a photo and a piece of media attached, it becomes a much more believable story. Now, with all of our content and with all of the reviews that get written by our consumers, they all get read by our compliance team. We have a team of lawyers that actually will review each review, and we validate to make sure they are, in fact, policyholders. Having a review widget, if you will, on your site, on a carrier site or in their agent distribution network is also valuable because we know it's coming direct from the consumers. We can actually begin to do benchmarking analysis relative to consumer behavior from other companies as well. So, you know, it's about creating that positive experience. If you can create that positive experience where carriers are not only just casually responding, but actually providing educational material, providing guidance, it creates a better sense of trust and loyalty, and ultimately it leads to better retention.
Todd, you know, you mentioned the example around the hurricane and, you know, the massive amounts of data that you all are collecting to, you know, potentially show, you know, where something is covered or how something is covered and what carriers are covering it and what carriers aren't covering it. And, you know, what that tells me is that that data can easily be leveraged in order for a carrier to review it and determine, okay, well, you know, if I'm, let's say, Travelers and I see that I'm doing something completely different than one of the other insurers in that space is doing, you know, I may want to go back and change my product to do so as well in order to align with where the rest of the industry is. You know, so do you have use cases or where carriers are hoping to use the data that you all have collected in order to enable other parts of their value chain?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the fact the next few weeks we're about to undergo a major release. And part of it is the type of data we're collecting around the purchasing decision. So we're beginning to see evidence of people changing their purchase decision based on the feedback they're seeing or reading online on our site, but also their policy coverage. And so beginning to see people engage and think about what they're buying is something that I honestly think has happened, but not to the degree that crowdsourcing can provide that has done in other industries. And so this is why I believe carriers do need to pay attention to this, because it is the next generation that's coming up that ultimately buys everything online and reads everything online before they do it. And you're ultimately, I always say, you're buying reviews before you buy anything. You're actually reading the online third-party feedback. Another example I would say is that oftentimes we get caught up in awards. There are third-party environments, research and survey awards. I think of companies like J.D. Powers. Nothing wrong with them, but there are a lot of companies that pay a lot of money for those surveys in order, and they pay more money for that publication of that survey. And yet all the while, you've got a new generation of millennials who have no idea who J.D. Powers is, right? And so you spend $500,000 on something that you're not even sure if you're going to get the value of. And so a lot of carriers have come to us to say, you know what? Crowdsourcing is here to stay. The CEOs we've talked to across the country recognize it. And they know that they've got to create a much more kind of brain dead simple way to match the consumer interests and needs with their business.
Absolutely. You know, I think transparency is absolutely the best way to do that, especially if it's not a situation where it's a pay for play, to the point that you were making with some of those larger organizations that will, you know, give a positive rating or whatever it may be, as long as they're getting the incentive to do so. You know, so that's never a good way to go, because, you know, in all honesty, you're not really getting the true view of how things are working. And, you know, you are leveraging the crowdsourcing element of how this works, I think really helps to, you know, move past that and get a real view of what's playing out.
And I would just add too, you know, traditionally there just hasn't been a proper home for insurance reviews in the industry that, you know, creates a more engaging way, a more meaningful way. And I think that's what we're trying to build here is, yeah, sure, certainly we're affecting a positive online reputation for carriers, but ultimately we're trying to create this platform for consumers and carriers to open up. And, you know, it's been encouraging. We've seen the platform grow from when we did an early alpha test back in December with a couple hundred reviews. And we then kind of beefed that up in April with a new website. We added a little more marketing. We ran a competition for people to share you know, their stories. I wouldn't say it's competition, but just, you know, to those who have provided the most kind of educational and beneficial reviews. And that, in just a short period of time, we went from a couple hundred to now over 60,000 reviews on over 375 insurance companies. Over half of those insurance companies have now engaged with us. So it's, you know, it has made a difference for sure.
You know, so what that tells me is that you guys are having real successes engaging the industry as well as engaging the policyholder with your platform, especially with these insurance carriers. You know, but one of the things that I know you guys are now going into is you're expanding your concept to start to begin to include agencies. Now, I know that that's a little bit of time away, but, you know, as you think about that expansion to include the agencies, do you think that at some point the smaller agents are going to get edged out because the policyholders are more apt to see or because you're more apt to see volume from some of the larger agents versus the smaller agencies?
Yeah, in fact, you know, I just came back from an agency down south, and they are a regional small agency. They've got a very niche market along the coast. And what they shared with me was, look, they know that in order for them to compete in their market, they have to do a better job of being online and being found, which means that they have to understand techniques with SEO, how to be found, how to be searched, what words are being used to be found. And so you're right. You know, this was a market that obviously we were focused on the carrier space, but, you know, we, in the process of collecting reviews on the carriers, we accidentally collected over 5,000 reviews on agents, and then it blew, you know, blossomed from there. So, you know, today I think people don't really know the difference sometimes between their carrier and their agent, which is how we actually created, that's how we created or grabbed so many reviews. But later next year, we will have an agency offering so that people, when they decide to want to buy insurance, not only can they see the top insurance carriers, whether it's local or national or based on their weighted preferences, but they can also see who are the top agents in their area who not only provide great service and sell that insurance policy, but have really stand behind their post-sales service. So they're going to be there for the consumer. And to do that, that means they're not afraid to be reviewed, to have an online reputation, to be transparent in their service. And the more that do that, I think it will, in fact, yes, I think there will be some weeding out of maybe older companies or maybe platforms that or agencies that don't want to adopt an online, true online platform. You know, I look at how many more times can you provide a dishwasher magnet with a picture of an agent and a schedule of the local football team or whatever. You know, it's a dying process. So, you know, being online is where those marketing dollars need to be spent. and being found.
Yeah, you know, it's really awesome, actually, as you were talking about the growth from the agencies that you collected, you know, as policyholders put information into your platform. And to me, in terms of, you know, being able to, you know, really expand the capabilities of a platform, the best type of growth are those that's unintended, but that's continuing to provide value. And, you know, what it sounds like what just happened is that it's blossoming into a completely new offering for agencies, you know, within the next year or so, you know, so I personally think that that's actually a great story around, you know, just taking something that was unintended and then turning it into, you know, an offering that's going to help to assist your need, but then also assist the policyholders as well.
I was just going to add one more thing to that too, is that the carriers themselves have also come to us because their agent networks are also struggling to be able to differentiate a brand over several others. You may have a smaller brand in a market that's trying to compete with bigger brands, bigger advertising dollars, bigger marketing dollars, and a known logo. And so, you know, those agents are coming back saying, look, we know you guys are going to be a little bit more expensive, but we also know you have great service. Do you have anything that you can use or anything that we can share that validates your service? And this is where having an online transparency platform like ClearAssurance makes a big difference, because they can show their score, they can show the reviews, they can show the service, they can trend that data over time and share that with consumers. And that's what we're excited about here, is because we're creating that, we're getting ready to release a lot of that data for consumers very soon. And that's a big difference. That's a game changer for insurance agents and agencies out there to be able to have those tools available.
I completely agree with that. And as I'm thinking about what you guys are doing in terms of introducing new tools, and, you know, as agents and the insurance companies are coming to you all around what you're designing with your platform, you know, this really sounds like something that's really hit a mark, you know, with the industry. You know, it sounds like it really is doing really well. You know, so what I also read about is, you know, you all recently raised about $4 million, which again tells me that this concept is working. You know, so with that fundraise that you just completed recently, you know, what are you all doing in order to help to grow your organization?
Yeah, thank you. And, you know, it's an interesting take. Again, very similar in many ways to what we've seen with TripAdvisor. Very similar role. A lot of people don't realize TripAdvisor also took only $4 million, and, you know, they became a multi-million dollar company. So it can be done. And you know, from our perspective, the way we grow is really several ways. One is, of course, being found. You know, the entire website is about to undergo a major change for SEO to help people find the best insurance. Be able to create a set of weighted preferences. So while price may be important for a consumer, so is reputation, so is the ability to cover a claim. Maybe I want to buy local versus national, and want to be able to see what is available for my options from my neighbors. What are my neighbors buying? And what's the service experience like relative to what I currently have for insurance? All of those questions get answered in our platform, and it creates a higher level of engagement for the consumers. So we're now brokering direct relationships with insurance companies. We don't intend to obviously sell insurance, but we can pass very valuable consumers directly to carriers, and especially where we have the ability to show what they're trending over time and what their service levels are like over time. And even in small niche markets, out in the middle of, you know, the center of the country, where you've got a small insurance company trying to compete against big nationals, they can make a difference. And being able to generate reviews, generate content, and be just as valuable online, it can be done. And that's part of the value add that we're providing to a lot of those smaller carriers, smaller markets that are out there. And then certainly the ability to take all of this data and make it meaningful from a benchmarking perspective, where they can compare, carriers can compare each other relative to, you know, maybe we are not doing as well in a certain market, or maybe we're trying to get into a new state and working with, you know, the DOI to try to get into the new state. And so we need to be able to validate our service and validate consumer experiences and feedback. And this is the type of data that we can provide them as they continue to grow. So yeah, we're continually adding value in that chain as well. And not to mention, even within the SEO side of this, helping many businesses, carriers and agencies with their SEO through the tools that we're providing.
Yeah, you know, I could just imagine, you know, just in terms of what you're doing and having to innovate fairly quickly and rapidly, you know, as new things come out or as new trends or new opportunities come your way for the platform. You know, so within ClearSurance, you know, who focuses on innovation and, you know, how do you make that a practice within your organization?
It really starts with the people out in the field. And so what I mean by that is collecting what we call voice of the customer feedback, very common, but not to let it just sit in some type of Excel spreadsheet. You make it a very kind of proactive, living, breathing part of your DNA as a company so that you take that feedback from carriers of all different sizes, different markets, geographies, and so on. You combine that with feedback from real consumers out there who are experiencing challenges. And you know, and then also the people they engage with to buy. So it could be direct from the carrier, but it could be the agents and agencies out there as well, and the brokers, and even online aggregators. And when you look at that whole system of how it's done, you collect that feedback. You then, you know, I always say you really can come up with your top 10 list very quickly for us around crowdsourcing and what that means in terms of a product. It always starts with the consumer. The consumer engagement cycle. So how do they learn about your product? How do they learn about your service? What can they do that's valuable? And then where can they go from that initial first few steps? And you know, having that ability to direct a consumer to a particular carrier because of a certain coverage or a certain issue they may be facing, that's gold for the carriers. And being able to have their customers stand up discussions. We had one customer who shared an amazing story on video, just talking about, you know, they had a car accident. In fact, they woke up one morning and their car was completely dented in on the street. And so they recorded this and shared this on our site. It was fascinating to watch. But then they shared it with the insurance company. They posted it to their wall through ClearSurance. And in response, the insurance company responded. They were, you know, thankful for the experience. But, you know, more importantly, I mean, again, that's marketing gold. You can't replace that on a commercial. To be able to have a real authentic voice doing your marketing is part of what this platform can do for carriers in many ways. And so, you know, I think it's a combination of leading innovation through listening. We do have people on our team who are very detail-oriented in terms around data analytics, data science. They've worked at previous insurance companies, so they understand the types of data that carriers are looking for. And then ultimately, having folks that have a very, very deep experience with the way traffic is harnessed in this world today. So what I mean by traffic is web traffic. So again, through SEO and using marketing and understanding the various social media groups that are out there, to affect and drive consumer engagement.
You know, so you all also have a growing team within ClearSurance at this point in time. I know you're, I think you're in the middle of, or you're contemplating moving from one location to the next, right? So so as we're thinking about just keeping a culture of innovation, knowing that you have a growing team and people that's coming in from all different types of organization, which might have been an organization that had legacy thought processes, or you know, some of the ones that are more on the forefront of change. You know, how are you keeping that culture and that spirit of innovation alive in ClearSurance?
Yeah, it's one of the things that we're very good about doing is setting goals and very transparent. Every Monday, our team gets together and we review our top threes, and everyone kind of rolls up ultimately into the company's top three goals. And so, you know, from an alignment perspective, it's very driven for everybody. And so we use modern tools like Slack to communicate, and regardless of where people may be, anywhere in any part of the country, just given travel schedules and where, you know, what we're doing. But it just allows for a very open, transparent team that's moving very quickly. We've also just had, through our years and decades of connections between Mike, myself, and others, you know, we've been able to bring on some incredible talent to the team, but also other relationships that have really enhanced. So, for example, our board, we brought in Chuck Wallace, who is the founder of eSurance, one of the founders. Tim Anderson recently joined. Tim was the ground floor founder and chief product officer for Glassdoor. So, you know, he has just deep experience in the crowdsourcing space. We have Neil Conley, who is the former CEO at Wright Flood Insurance, and just deep insurance experience working with commissioners across multiple states across the country. So having those types of pedigree within the background really drives our innovation. And like I said, it's about really listening to the market and listening to what are the real challenges out there for carriers in the marketing departments, but also in the sales departments. How do they can get their message and their brand out in this modern way, in this modern world?
Thinking about, you mentioned Chuck Wallace came on from Esurance, and he absolutely has, very deep expertise in the insurance space as the one of the co-founders of Esurance. So, I would assume that that you guys are leveraging as much of that expertise as you can in order to continue to drive through and make strides within the insurance industry with ClearSurance.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we're fortunate that and both Chuck, Tim, Neil, all of them are just tied right into our internal systems. So we can ask questions at any point in the day, and their response times are amazing. So it just allows us to innovate much quicker and provide that openness for the entire team to see why we're going a certain direction or why we're moving or thinking about a certain market in a way that maybe others may not be. And it's a result of experience and market intelligence that we're gathering.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I always like to ask, just so I could, make this tangible for the listeners that are, hearing you and I speak here today is, if I'm a listener that's sitting at my desk and I need to, really do things differently in order to continue to keep my skill set relevant to my work, what do you think that thing is that I can do to really, challenge the status quo and, enable that spirit of innovation in my organization?
Yeah, and it starts in the honest sense, it really comes back to defining what am I accountable for? Asking that question, because any one of us is replaceable in any company. But ultimately, what are the measures by how I'm going to measure that accountability? And understanding what am I delivering as part of the team? What is my team? How are they aligned to maybe a greater goal? Maybe my team is part of a department like marketing or sales. And then ultimately, how does that align up back to the company's goals? And for years and for 25 years in doing this and building companies, and we've built companies that have been small. We've built companies that we've taken public and sold and 3,000 people in the company, right? So various sizes. And in the process, it always comes back down to corporate alignment and team alignment, but it comes back to setting realistic, achievable goals and making sure that you're questioning the process around those goals. And to me, that has always been, if I'm doing it, if my colleagues are doing it, we're seeing each other's progress, and we're also holding each other accountable as part of that process too. And so not being afraid of that, but embracing that. And that's where you get real innovation and real speed around that innovation.
And with that accountability piece, just defining what you're accountable for, but to that point that you made at the end, having an accountability partner, I think, really helps to push it forward, because then you're not only accountable to yourself, but you're also accountable to meeting those goals for the organization with someone else that has that true visibility around, what you said you were going to do. So I actually think that's excellent advice for, someone listening to this and really wanting to, understand how to do things differently and how to challenge that status quo in the industry. Todd, I do want to say thank you for your time here today. I do truly appreciate this conversation. If anyone wanted to learn more about yourself or what you're doing at ClearSurance, how can I get them to you?
Absolutely. So certainly clearsurance.com. We've got a, like everybody, we've got this thing called a website. but they can, by all means, reach out to me direct. I'm simple enough, just Todd, T-O-D-D, at clearsurance.com. And, I'm happy to connect with anybody and share more about what we're doing.
Perfect. Well, Todd, once again, I do want to say thank you. And I'm looking forward to continuing to follow ClearSurance and, what you guys are doing in the industry. And then I'm also looking forward to catching up with you at InsurTech Boston.
Fantastic. Looking forward to seeing you as well.
Hey, everybody. You know, I want to say thank you once again for listening to this episode of the Insurance Innovators Unscripted podcast. Now, what I do want to ask you to do is, if you haven't already done this, just click the subscribe button on whatever platform you're using, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, you know, just so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes in the future. So just tune in next week. So once again, thank you, and we will see you next week.